It's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon for Thursday, May 22nd, the year 2014. Today on the show, we'll talk with Dan and Dan Rayner of Stevens Puppets about their shows next Tuesday. Meryl Jensen will be here to highlight May's Public Garden Day for a benefit for the Jensen Olsen Arboretum. Todd Hunt will be here with a preview of the Juneau Wind Ensemble Spring Concert. And Nancy DeJuneau will be here with Arts Up, that writer's almanac, Bird Note Music, and more today on a Juneau afternoon. For the forecast for today, partly cloudy skies continuing this afternoon with isolated showers, high temperatures around 60 degrees. Forecast for tonight, partly cloudy skies with isolated rain showers later on, low temperatures around 42 degrees.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Members of the Yakima Nation of Washington took to the Columbia River this week to protest a proposed coal export facility in eastern Oregon. Northwest tribes say the export facility would cut tribal fishermen off from treaty-protected fishing sites along the river. KWSO's Will Robbins has more.
Over 70 protesters held signs and waved flags along the Columbia River Tuesday near the proposed Morro Pacific coal terminal. Yakima tribal leaders and boats asserted their treaty fishing rights by placing a fishing net right next to the proposed coal export facility near Boardman, Oregon. Amber Energy, the company backing the export terminals, has said the project would not interfere with treaty fishing rights. However, the tribe's environmentalists disagree, saying the placement of a coal export terminal would not only encroach on treaty fishing access, but would also do irreparable harm to the river's ecosystem. Joining the Yakima tribe were also members from the Lummi Nation, who are fighting another proposed coal export terminal near Bellingham, Washington. The Morro Pacific Project would transport about 9 million tons of coal per year from the Powder River Basin in Wyoming to eastern Oregon. From there, the coal would be transferred to a barge and floated down the Columbia River to a port where it would be loaded on a ship and sent overseas. Tribes and environmentalists are calling for more extensive studies of increased barge traffic on the Columbia, the potential for water pollution, and public health effects. In Oregon, I'm Will Robbins reporting for National Native News.
The First Peoples Fund and the Institute of American Indian Arts is providing professional development training for Native artisans. The classes next month in New Mexico will help them prepare for the public arena with the many upcoming summer markets scheduled across the country. There are also many opportunities for artists at their own tribal communities, says Ron Solomon, director of the Center for Lifelong Education at the Institute of American Indian Arts.
The art of business really is part of the economic engine right at the tribal communities, especially those tribes that are involved in tourism, you know, either to a limited extent or to a great extent. People that are starting to plan their itineraries for the summer are looking for places to go, places to see, but also things to buy. And those things that are Native American are particularly attractive to international visitors. And there is a large wave of international visitation that's getting ready to unleash itself.
The training will help Native artists understand how to run a business, including accounting, human resources, and other areas. Solomon says the goal is to help sustain their business for the long term. He says one of the biggest challenges is marketing.
The utilization of social media is really critical for them to get a handle on so they can use that effectively and to describe the way in which the items are produced, because that's always important when people walk away. The marketing aspect, and to go along with that, you know, the advertising, then that's a more sophisticated process as well. But there's opportunities via the internet now that people can take advantage of at the least cost for them. So we're trying to help them understand that process as well and how they can learn how to do it on their own.
The business sessions are set to take place in both Albuquerque and Santa Fe. A bill to create a commission on Native children passed a Senate committee Wednesday. U.S. North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp introduced the legislation a few months ago. The commission would examine poverty, unemployment, abuse, domestic violence, and other issues. The bill now moves to the full Senate. In May 2008, a group of people who signed the Dawes Rolls were honored at the Oklahoma State Capitol. Tribal and state leaders recognized eight people who at the time were believed to be the last living signees. More than 100,000 names are on the rolls, which were used for tribal membership and land allotment in the late 1800s and early 1900s. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support from the National Indian Education Association's 45th Annual Convention in Anchorage, October 15th through the 19th. Advancing educational opportunities for American Indians, Alaska Natives, and Native Hawaiians. Learn more at niea.org. With funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It's Shona Strasser. It's Thursday, May 22nd. Thank you so much for tuning in. And joining us on phone is Dan Rayner of Stevens Puppets, and they'll be here on Tuesday to give us a show. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you. So, thanks. I was hoping that you might tell us a little bit about how you came to be a puppeteer and what kind of puppeteering do you do?
Well, we are called Stevens Puppets. That's the name of the company. And we do hand-carved wooden marionette puppets. And the story we're going to be doing this year is Beauty and the Beast. Last year, we were invited to the libraries, and we performed Rumpelstiltskin. And the year before that, we were invited, and we did The Wizard of Oz. So we're doing Beauty and the Beast this year. And the way we became puppeteers, my wife and I, is many years ago, 21 years ago to be exact, my wife and I answered an ad in the newspaper in a little Elkhart, Indiana newspaper called the Elkhart Truth. And they asked us, they asked in the ad, they said, looking for retired couple to tour marionette show. And so we were in our early 20s. We wanted to be retired, but... We were not, but we were hired because of our extensive theater backgrounds, and we were hired, and a few years later, we bought the company out, and now we tour over 40 states, and we are very, very excited to be coming back to Alaska next week.
That's great. So you've been doing this now for a while, then?
Yes, correct. 21 years.
Wow, that's amazing. And how many shows do you have working, and you make all your own puppets? Is that how it works, too?
Yes, that's correct. Actually, I don't make them. My wife does. My wife is very, very talented, and she carves them all out of wood. She makes all their costumes, paints them all, paints the sceneries. I build the props and I build the stages, but she does all the beautiful artwork.
And are you a two-person team mostly, or do you have some guest puppeteers, and how does that work?
We are actually a two-person team, and all of our puppeteers are. We've got several troops out on the road. My wife and I own the company, but... We have several troops that hit different states, and we go all over the place. We do about 3,000 shows a year total in all of us together.
Wow, and it's all marionettes.
Yes, everything's marionettes. We do have one show that is a hand puppet show. It's called The Wonderful World of Puppets, and it's a trip around the world seen through puppets from around the world, and it's beautiful, but it's not marionettes. It's, you know, Punch and Judy and shadow puppets and Javanese rod puppets and things like that. Very, very cool puppets, but not marionettes in that show.
Wow. And so what kind of background and training? So you said you had theater training, but then it was like, well, I know how to work these marionettes now. And so are you training other puppeteers as they come along and that kind of thing?
Yes. When we try to hire somebody with a theater background, because we don't, we can teach anybody to do puppet shows. What you can't teach is how to perform in front of an audience. If somebody's very shy, you know, you really can't do a whole lot with that. But at the same time, I can pretty much teach somebody how to do a puppet show because it's mechanical and, you know, just the things that you do, and you do this and you're going to get the effect that you want. However, we do look for outgoing people to do it, and when we find the right person, then we train them. And they go through about a 3 to 4 month training period of going out every day and doing shows with either my wife or I. And we perform every day, and gradually they get a little bit more freedom to do shows and things like that. And we just go on from there. It's really, really great. So they get to learn from the masters at the same time They get a little bit of autonomy at a time, and by the time they are ready to go, we are satisfied with them so they can get on the road.
That's great. How do you choose the shows that you're going to work on? Are most of them children's shows, and do you kind of venture into adult puppetry as well?
We do not right now get into adult puppetry. We have in the past, and when our company was founded in 1933, Martin Stevens, who is the preeminent puppeteer, he's no longer alive, but he hired and trained several puppeteers that have gone on to worldwide fame, like Bill Baird. He did the puppets and the Sound of Music, the, the movie, and Henson was a contemporary kid, worked hard with
You're
Martin
breaking
Stevens,
up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. It shouldn't be breaking up here.
That's all right.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. I think
are you there now?
I think you're back in business.
Okay. Sorry about that. I stopped and everything. but anyhow, yeah, it was puppeteers have become a very long history, so it's really it's a really wonderful business. And we choose all of our different stories. Like, we choose Beauty and the Beast, and we choose classic children's literature and classic fairy tales. And we try to make them very family-oriented, so not just children like them, but it kind of transcends all ages. And so children like it, teenagers like it, adults like it, babies like it, you know, it's wonderful.
That sounds great. So what kind of venues, so here you're at the library, correct?
Correct. We're going to be at the Mendenhall Branch Library in Juneau, and it's going to be next week, and I'm sorry, I don't have the date right here in front of me, but I hope you do somewhere.
It's Tuesday. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I believe we've got two performances, one at 3 and one at 6 or one at 6:30, something like that. And I know that it's free. It's free for everybody to come and see it, but I do think you probably have to sign up ahead of time or something like that.
Great. And people can go online to the City of Juneau Library and check that out. Definitely get the number out at the Mendenhall Valley Branch.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what kind of venues do you usually do? I mean, with marionettes, is you know, do you have kind of a stage that, you know, you're kind of lifted up above the ground? Or how much clearance are you working with? And do you all travel with a stage, or how does that work?
Yes, we bring everything with us. We bring our own stage, our own lighting system, sound system, props, everything. And we go to theaters, and we go to libraries, and we go to festivals. And we have been invited to birthday parties. That's kind of an expensive way to have a birthday party, but hey, if somebody wants to have a show, we'll take the show to them. And so everything we have is packed up very small so we can take it on flights with us. And it's really, really compact, so we try very hard to make sure that all of our shows can fit within our stage confines.
Have you
but yes, our stage does, it comes with us, so when we come to a venue, we bring everything with us.
Have you toured to other parts of Alaska, too?
Oh, yes. Matter of fact, this tour that we're doing, Juneau is our first stop out of 33. And so we are going to be in Juneau on Tuesday, and then we're flying to Sitka on Wednesday morning. And we'll be in Sitka, Ketchikan, and then Sitka. So I get it all confused, but we do have it on the itinerary, so I do know where I'm going and all the flights and what have you. But, yes, we're going to be doing a lot of libraries, and the Rasmussen Foundation and the Harper Touring Arts have funded a lot of this for our travel with a grant, and we are very, very thankful for them to do that.
That's great. If people want more information about what your puppet company does, is there a website that people can check out?
Absolutely. It is www.stevenspuppets.com, and that's Stevens with a V, so StevensPuppets.com. And you could also like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/StevensPuppets. Very simple. Oh, and we also have a Twitter as well, so you can. It's also at or hashtag or whatever they call it. I don't know. at StevensPuppets. So you can follow us on Twitter as well.
Sounds great. So Beauty and the Beast is coming up here to Juneau. So do you take the same show, you know, are you taking the same show to Ketchikan and Sitka, or you travel with a bunch of different puppets for the different stories?
No, we're taking the same show to every library, so every community is going to get the same show. Or you know, it's live theater, so
who knows,
you never
what can
know
happen.
What show you're going to get, right? But for the most part, it's the same basic show, and it's what we try to do with our shows is we try to do classic children's literature and classic fairy tales, meaning we try to remain very true to the original story. We don't like the Disney version of something, and plus it's against the law, so we don't do that. So what we do is we find a story like The Wizard of Oz or Beauty and the Beast or The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, something that is in the public domain, and then we try to stick very closely to the original text as we can. For example, the Disney version of Beauty and the Beast does not have any sisters. Beauty has two sisters, and in the Disney version doesn't say that at all. But in our version, of course, she has the two sisters, and they are part of the conflict of the story because one's a very mean sister and one's a very nice sister, and Beauty is a very beautiful person. So it's a nice stereotype, I guess, of the three different characters.
Right.
And father, of course, their father. So it's a great story.
It is. It's beautiful. Well, great. People can people of Juneau can check you out on Tuesday at the Mendenhall Valley Library. Dan Rayner of Stevens Puppets, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking with
great.
You.
Great. Thank you so much for having us, and we look forward to meeting you and all of your listeners out there at the Mendenhall Library.
It should be lots of fun. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Every time you look at me, I'm as helpless as can be. I've become a puppet on a string. You can do most anything with me. All you do is touch my hand, and your wish is my command. I become a puppet on a string. You can do most anything with me. If you really love me, darling, please be kind. I offer you the truest love that you will ever find. Take my heart and please be fair. Handle it with loving care. For I'm just a puppet on a string. You can do most anything with me. If you really love me, darling, please be kind. I offer you the truest love that you will ever find. Take my heart and please be fair. Handle it with loving care. For I'm just a puppet on a string, and you can do most anything with me. You can do.
And that's Elvis Presley with Puppet on a String. You can check out some puppetry marionettes at the Mendenhall Valley Library on Tuesday. That's going to be pretty cool. And joining me in the studio, we have Meryl Jensen of the Jensen Olson Arboretum. Thanks for joining me.
It's a pleasure. Thanks.
So there's a lot going on at the Arboretum these days.
It's spring, and yes, there's lots going on. This Saturday, the 24th, is Alaska Public Gardens Day. And we've got two tours that will be happening then. At 11 a.m. is a historic tour, kind of take people around and show them what happened prior to it becoming the Arboretum, the history with the Petersons and the Olsons and Caroline and Carl Jensen when they moved out there. And then at 1 o'clock is my favorite, the Cool Plants Tour. Take people around and show them all the neat little things that are tucked into all the nooks and crannies around the arboretum that they might not notice if they're just out there walking around.
Wow. So the Public Garden Day, what is that? How did that come about?
Alaska Public Gardens Day was, it was House Bill 18 that was passed in 2011. The legislature pushed this through, and the Arboretum and our pals up in Anchorage at the Alaska Botanical Garden and the Georgeson Botanic Garden in Fairbanks, we kind of collaborated and pushed to have a day of recognition for Alaska Gardens. There's a National Public Gardens Day, which happens the first weekend in May, and the first week in May in Alaska is generally not really good gardening weather. We could still have, you know, a foot of snow on the ground, so we thought it would be appropriate if we pushed it to the end of the month. And that worked out, and people got on board, and we have little celebrations around the state.
So for people who don't know what the Jensen Olsen Arboretum is or haven't been out there yet, because it's a fairly new, established as an arboretum. I mean,
yeah,
I say
yeah,
new,
we're,
but
we opened our doors in 2007, so yeah, we're a young institution as far as public gardens go.
And where is it? So if people are driving out the road, they
heading
like,
out the road, yes, we're just past mile 23. We're 8/10 of a mile just past the shrine. So if you go past them, we have a highway sign, and then we've got a mailbox that has our name on it. And we're on the left-hand side of the road. And it's just before the Peterson Lake Trailhead.
And it's a pretty unique story, actually, how it came about.
Oh, yeah,
I was wondering if you could tell folks about that.
Sure. Caroline Jensen, she moved out there when she and her husband inherited the property from the Olsons. This was in the early 60s. And she was quite the gardener. They moved out there. She rolled up her sleeves and turned a quintessential Alaskan bush homestead into this amazing garden. And she knew she had something special, and she wanted to ensure that it stayed as something special. She, you know, didn't want to see somebody come out there, buy the property, knock everything down, and put condos up and, you know, jet ski rentals, that type of thing. So in the early 90s, she started formulating how she could, you know, turn this into public space, and she put a conservation easement into place, you know, stipulating what we can and can't do out there. And it said that she could live out the rest of her days on the property, and after she passed away, it would become a public garden. So in 2006, she passed away, and 2007, we kind of opened the doors and have been kind of transforming the space ever since. She was just a couple of weeks shy of her 89th birthday, and she'd still been doing the vast majority of the gardening on her own out there. And, boy, wish I could do that. So it was a little rough around the edges, and we've kind of expanded out on her theme and have a lot more plants than what we inherited.
So you actually have, you know, a pretty large job out there. What do you do?
Ooh, yeah, where to begin? With springtime going full tilt, it's just, you know, maintaining, getting everything just looking spit spot for Public Gardens Day. We hold the North American Plant Collections Consortium National Collection for the genus Primula. So we've got close to 200 species and cultivars of primrose out there, so I get to curate that collection. And that includes sourcing new seed, bringing it in, germinating it, growing it out, putting it in the ground, recording it in the database, taking photos of it, maintaining curatorial standards, and making it available for research.
And how yourself did you get involved in horticulture?
It's a long story. when I was seven, on my seventh birthday, my grandmother sent me a bag of crocus bulbs. And as a seven-year-old boy, I'm like, Grandma, what are you doing?
So, geez, Grandma.
Yeah, geez, Grandma. Thanks a lot. So this was in the fall, and my mom and I went out, and we planted them, and I promptly forgot them. And spring rolled around, and she's like, come on outside. I've got something to show you. And we walked around the corner. I saw these flowers that had come up where I had, you know, dug the hole and put the bulbs in. And I was like, wow, that's cool. So I got hooked, and I've kind of been a plant geek ever since. Have a degree in horticulture. Loaded up a lot on botany as well. Could have had a double major with horticulture and botany. But, yeah, it's kind of a natural fit.
And have you always gardened here in Alaska?
No, I have not. I grew up in Wyoming on the high, dry prairies where the wind never stopped. Went to school in Washington. Have gardened in Hawaii, California, Oregon, Washington, and Alaska. This is my fourth public garden, and everyone's been a little bit different. This one has its unique challenges because of the climate. It's wetter than every place else I've been, and it's a lot cooler. That's our limiting factor here in Juneau, is the lack of summer heat. That's not the winter cold is not what drives the plant hardiness. It's the lack of summer heat.
You know, it's interesting because I think a lot of people in Juneau who maybe want to dabble in gardening are nervous. I mean, because it is so cold, it is so damp. Do you have any kind of advice for people like that?
Come to the Arboretum and see what's growing well and, and plant accordingly.
Yeah, because it's about finding the right things that work here.
Yeah, and primrose, they do so well. The vast majority of them are from the high Himalayas, and similar climate, cold, snotty, wet weather. And they just fit right in.
Yeah.
So primrose do really well. A lot of the saxifrage grow well here, campanulas, astilbes do amazing, good fall color, things like that. So if you come out to the Arboretum, see what's going well, write down the name. We've got a lot of them labeled, and then shop around town and plant.
Cool. You actually have another pretty great event coming up, too.
Yes.
It has to do with things I like, flowers and wine.
Good combination, yes. So it's our benefit that's coming up. That's going to be on Saturday the 31st, and it's the Friends of Jensen Olson Arboretum's benefit, and it's going to be held at Glacier Gardens Rainforest Adventure, that wonderful greenhouse space that they have there. It's going to be from 6 to 9 p.m. Food supplied by the hangar, which is always tasty. We've got two musical groups, Flutatious and Jim Knoll and Doug Bridges. We'll have three wine distributors there, and this year we'll also have Alaska Brewing Company, so we'll have beer tasting as well. So we're going to cover the gamut.
So how does that work? So the Arboretum, I could be totally wrong here, but is it run by the city, or how does that work?
It's a real interesting setup. It's a city property, so we're basically a city park, but we're under direct oversight by the Southeast Alaska Land Trust. They are the final say as what we can and can't do out there. So Caroline, when she was setting this up, she kind of split the power structure. And city owns and operates, but the land trust has final say.
And then the Friends of the Group,
and the Friends
like a non-profit,
of the Group are there are basically our fundraising arm.
And do you live out there full time? Is that how that works?
I have to live at work. Yes, I'm one of those people that has to live at work. And, yeah, the morning commute's tough. Get up and make a pot of tea, and I'm there.
That sounds pretty great. Is there a place that if people are looking for more information about the Alaska Public Garden Day this Saturday and or the benefit that's coming up on the 31st, is there a website? Does the Jensen Arboretum have one?
We are in the process of getting that put together. The Friends are getting about that close to having a website up and running. As a default website, we have a Facebook page, so a lot of information goes up on Facebook, and I try to keep that updated with photos of what's going on, what's blooming, so people can look and see and go, oh, yeah, nice day out the road, let's go.
Yeah, that's perfect. I'm getting texts about this, you know, the benefit, so I feel like your people are doing really well.
Oh, good, 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 yeah. Yeah, that's, we've got a pretty good email list, so there's a lot of communication that goes out like that.
That's great. So anything else to look forward to at the Arboretum this summer?
Nonstop bloom. We have flowers that are, the way things are planted, there's sequential bloom from late April until early October, depending on what fall brings to us. So as the spring flowers go down, new stuff comes up. Rule of thumb, if you come out every 3 weeks, you'll see something completely different in bloom. So it's kind of fun to watch the season progress.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. Plus, then there's the vegetable garden, too, and watch that come from, you know, a lot of bare dirt, too. All the yummy produce that comes up.
That's great. This is Meryl Jensen with the Jensen Olson Arboretum. Thank you so much for coming on. And definitely check it out this Saturday. And
this
can
Saturday,
you say the tour times one more time?
The tour times are at 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock, and we're open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
And do you lead those tours?
Yes, I'm the tour leader.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me in. It's a pleasure.
All right.
I went to a garden party to reminisce with my old friends. A chance to share old memories and play our songs again. When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same. But it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. People came from miles around. Everyone was there. Yoko brought a walrus. There was magic in the air. And over in the corner, much to my surprise, Mr. Hughes hidden Dylan's shoes, wearing his disguise. But it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone.
And go check out the Jensen Olsen Arboretum this Saturday. You can get all sorts of cool tours about what's growing, what's happening here. That's going to be pretty neat. And before we get to our next guest, we'll hear a little bit of Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 22nd of May, 2014. It was on this day, 1842, 1,000 pioneers headed west on the Oregon Trail, the beginning of what was known as the Great Migration, a trail about 2,000 miles from the Missouri River to the Willamette Valley in Oregon. When the fur traders first discovered the trail in the early 19th century, you could only traverse it on foot or by horse, but by the late 1830s, it was accessible to wagons. And a lawyer in Missouri named Peter Burnett felt the call of the West. He wrote later, "I saw that a great American community would grow up in the space of a few years upon the distant Pacific, and I felt an ardent desire to aid in this most important enterprise." So he organized a wagon train, 300 men, women, and children, 50 wagons. It left Independence, Missouri on this day in 1843. By the time they reached Topeka, the number of people had more than doubled. They encountered herds of bison, villages of prairie dogs, reached Fort Laramie, Wyoming in 40 days, about 670 miles, through the Rocky Mountains, over the Colorado River, through Fort Bridger, Fort Boise, finally arriving in the Willamette Valley 5 months after they had set out from Independence. Four more wagon trains made the journey the next year, but the trail gradually fell out of use as railroad lines began to crisscross the country, and it was abandoned entirely in the 1870s. And it's the birthday of the first openly gay man elected to public office, Harvey Milk, born Woodmere, New York, 1930. Moved to San Francisco, he ran for city supervisor in 1973. He was defeated again in 1975. He lost. And then in 1977, he campaigned on civil rights issues, but also for less expensive child care and free public transportation and the creation of a police board, and won by 30%, and was shot down the following year by another city supervisor, Dan White. Here's a poem for today by Carrie Fountain, entitled Heaven. We spent months of our lives walking from Sears to Penny's, back when we were vague, a couple of ideas forming ourselves against the certainty of merchandise, in the presence of strangers, when no one knew us, or wished to know us, or could even perceive us, as we passed, two girls, unsmiling, unwilling, not finished. When I think of what we looked like then, I think of newborn horses, stunned and exhausted, still slick with the cumbersome fluids of birth. You were the leader. You'd stop at the waterfall by the food court, dig a coin from your pocket, and toss it over your shoulder into the fiberglass river, then turn, press a coin into my palm, and say, "Now you do it." We were hopeful. Our quarters slapped the water and disappeared beneath it. The little river went on past the shoe store, and we followed it. We followed it as long as we could, longing toward this, the unseen, unwished for present. A poem entitled Heaven by Carrie Fountain from her collection Burn Lake, published by Penguin and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles, assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And you're tuned in to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, May 22nd. And my next guests in the studio, very busy folks, we have William Todd Hunt here. And we also have Sarah McNair Grove. And Todd is the conductor for the Wind Ensemble concert that's coming up here pretty soon. And Sarah is the president of the Juno Community Band. Welcome to the studio.
Yeah, thanks, Jonah.
Yeah. So the Juno Wind Ensemble has a concert coming up. It's actually Sunday.
Yes, actually it is. Yeah, Sunday at 3 o'clock. You probably don't have too much to do that day because there's not much going on this time of year. So come on out. It's at the Jack, 3 o'clock, and it'll be fairly short but good fun music.
Great. So, Sarah, you were saying kind of before we came on air here that the Juno Community Band is essentially an umbrella for this wind ensemble. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the Juno Community Band has a couple of things that we do. The one that probably most everybody knows about is the volunteer marching band that gets together for the 4th of July parades. And then some of the players wanted to do a little bit more, I'll say, serious music and during the year. So we got together a wind ensemble that does sit-down concert-type music.
So it's also not the only umbrella. I say umbrella because that's a nonprofit terminology, right? But that it's not the only kind of umbrella that you're for. So you also present another musical group in town. Is that correct?
Well, we do the wind ensemble and the marching band.
And the marching band. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they're together. I was like, oh, there might be one more in there. Okay. So what? It's a pretty unique. You have kind of a unique thing going on Sunday. I was wondering if you could tell us about that.
Yeah. I think you might be referring to the Lincoln portrait of which we were talking about before. Yeah. So I think most people out here in radio land probably know who Aaron Copland was, American composer from early to mid-20th century. Anyway, during the World War II, he was commissioned to, or actually at the very beginning of World, when we got into World War II, to write a patriotic piece to sort of, you know, bolster up the patriotism in the country. And he was searching around for things to do, and he's like the quintessential person I think we can all sort of get behind, Abraham Lincoln. And he took a lot of his speeches and other works that he wrote, along with some biographical information, and basically made a piece originally orchestra with a narrator. And it's this transcribed for band. And we're doing that with Senator Dennis Egan, which is very exciting.
That's super exciting. Yeah. I love his voice. It just makes me all melty.
Yeah. It's a wonderfully cool piece that... I don't know if you'll learn things about Abraham Lincoln, but it is inspiring for sure.
Well, that's really interesting because it's not, you know, it's not every day that you have some kind of, and it's kind of tis the season too. It's Memorial Day. And,
yeah, no, that's, yeah, that's part of the thing. It's like, okay, it looks like we're having a concert on Memorial Day weekend. Yes, we're going to have to do Lincoln Portrait. Pull that one out.
That's funny because you were like, I guess we're going to have to do Lincoln Portrait. I would have
never
thought of that.
Yeah.
What are the other pieces that you've chosen?
Well, so the other kind of meaty piece that we're doing is called A Movement for Rosa by Mark Camphouse, which is a piece written essentially for or about Rosa Parks, you know, from the civil rights movement. You know, she didn't want to give up her seat on the bus and sort of really propelled the civil rights movement forward. And this piece was written to honor that moment in time, as well as the woman herself, and by extension, the civil rights movement that's kind of still going on. And as a matter of fact, it ends with sort of this quiet dissonance where things aren't fully resolved yet, and that's sort of where it's where it goes.
Oh, that's
kind of neat. Yeah, and the funny thing, and after I'd chosen the piece, I come to find out that my wife studied trumpet with the composer when she was an undergrad.
Oh, wow.
And so there's like, she was like, I know that name. I was like, wait a minute.
It always comes
it's
around.
It's a sort of funny, you know, full circle kind of thing.
So you also have some special guests. Sarah, do you want to talk about some special guests there?
Floyd Dryden Middle School Band is going to have some players join us on one of the pieces, and so we're just delighted that they'll be sitting in among the more experienced players and get a little feel for how that goes. And we had a wonderful rehearsal with them last night, and I think it's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, and you yourself play too, right?
I do. I play clarinet.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So there's just a lot kind of going on that concert.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so they're doing the three movements from a much larger work called The Fountainhead that was written especially for younger players to join more experienced players. And there are certain movements that are really built towards that and others that have the option. And we're looking at doing the whole thing next year at some point. And so this is sort of a teaser kind of thing and to get some of the school folks involved.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah, so if people want tickets, can they just get them at the door? Is it free? How does that work?
The concert is free. Just come and enjoy us. We do accept donations, but it's just free, and come and join us. I think it'll be a wonderful way to spend your Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Todd, can you tell us what kind of instruments make up the wind ensemble?
Sure. Yeah, it's all woodwind, brass, and percussion instruments. So you got, like, the flutes, clarinets, oboe, bassoon, saxophones, trumpets, trombones, tuba, euphonium, that sort of thing, and then pretty much anything you hit. can be shoved in the back somewhere.
Nice. So also the you know, with your umbrella, the Juno Community Band, you also have something else that's right around the corner that's pretty big.
We do. That big thing coming up is the 4th of July parade, and our rehearsals for that will start on the first Monday in June. We will meet Monday nights every Monday in June at 7 to 9 p.m. at Faith Lutheran Church, and this group is open to anybody that can play an instrument of approximately junior high age and older. You don't have to have marching experience. We just ask that you know how to play your instrument.
It's so much fun, too. I have to say it's one of my favorite parts of the parade. I mean, except for the candy, of course, every year. You know, it's just so much fun.
We do hear that quite often when I'm out recruiting or talking to people. It says, I just love to hear the band. So we really need you players out there to come and join us.
That sounds great. And can people just show up, or do they need to sign up? They need to give you a call?
Just show up. But if you want more information, you can look at our website, which is Juno Community Band. And we also have an email, junocommunityband@gmail.com.
That's great. And Todd, you're kind of a guy about town doing music everywhere. I mean, guy about town in a good way.
Of course.
So what's coming up next for you?
Let's see. Actually, what's coming up and sort of been going on for me right now is the Thunder Mountain Big Band. I'm subbing in on tenor sax, and that's sort of a gas. It's something I do every once in a while, but we've got like four gigs here while, you know, at the sort of the beginning of summer before things sort of wind down. That's my other little focus. And also starting to plan for next season with the opera and the Amalga Chamber Orchestra, as well as the wind ensemble, looking at trying to, you know, shoehorn everything in that needs to happen.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Actually.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah, and Perseverance, too. I mean, I'll be helping.
You're kind of busy over there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, helping set up for the Summerfest that's coming up. So it'll be a blast.
Cool. So if people want to get involved in the wind ensemble, you're looking for players?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Pretty much anything right now in the wind player or percussion, for that matter, we could use. Yeah, just about anything. It's always good. If we don't have room for, you know, somebody, it's always good to have a little depth in the section, you know, in case we need to draw on that.
Yeah.
So let us know you're there.
Yeah, that sounds great. So thank you so much. Can we get the concert time one more time out there?
It is Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock at the Jack.
And it's free. I can't believe
it. Yeah.
Donations accepted, but what a score, because there are some super talented musicians in the Juno Wind Ensemble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Well, Todd and Sarah, thank you so much for joining me here on Juno Afternoon.
Yeah, thanks, Shanna.
Thank you for having us.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. When you take, you gotta give. So live and let live or let go. Oh, I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could promise you things like big diamond rings, but you don't find roses growing on stalks of clover. Sweet talking, you could make it come true. I would give you the world right now on a silver platter. But what would it matter? So smile for a while and let's be jolly. Love shouldn't be so melancholy. Come along and share the good times while we can. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could sing you a tune and promise you the moon, but if that's what it takes to hold you, I'd just as soon let you go. But there's one thing I want you to know. You better look before you leap, still waters run deep, and there won't always be someone there to pull you out. And you know what?
And you're tuned in to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, May 22nd. We are going into a Memorial Day weekend. And in the studio with me, I have Nancy DeCherney with Arts Up.
Hi, again. Oh, yeah, it's a Memorial Day weekend, and it's going to be a memorable one. There's a lot of things going on, of course. Today, we're still in the bicycle commute month.
So, oh, I guess that's all of May.
Yeah, and the weather's been really good, so I hope you've been bicycling to work. I haven't. I have a big hill. Tonight at 7 o'clock, we have Marion Call and Laura Zahasky in concert at a new venue, Copa.
I know, that's going to be so cool.
Ice cream and music?
Cha-ching. And those two women are amazing, talented musicians, you know, so I would definitely go check that out.
And it's limited seating, so you best be getting there. They suggest an RSVP at mariancall.com. So, and it's by donation. They suggest $10 to $15. So this is the last weekend for... Boeing, Boeing.
Or sometimes I like to call it boing, boing.
That's what I thought it was to begin with. looks like it's loads of fun, and there are only 3 tickets available as of this printing for tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a big jump from today.
Yeah, so you best be getting there. It's karaoke night at McGivney's. It's open mic night at the Alaskan Bar, and all weekend Gold Town is offering... Fading Gigolo, The Unknown Known, and Jodorowsky's Dune.
That I was talking to Colette Costa about that movie a couple nights ago, and it just sounds fascinating. It's actually about this guy who had this vision about making a Dune movie based on the book, and I don't know if it's just Colette, the way she tells the story. She just cracks me up. I don't know what it is. But it sounds really fascinating.
So just check their website to get the schedule, because they sort of bounce them around, but it'll be all weekend. We have a new theater company. If you read the paper today, you saw all about that. Fresh Passion Theater. They'll be offering Calico, a theatrical skit showcase. They'll be doing this at Gold Town all pretty much throughout the weekend. It's 6 little skits, and it's Sarah Everett and her family. Exciting.
It's 4 families, which I think is totally great. And you know what I love? That it's called Fresh and Passion Theater. Things that I'd like to breathe back into my practice.
Yeah. So check this out and give this. She's a local girl, of course, and I think she just graduated from college, and it's great to have her back in town. And so it's great to see new things going on. There are so many new things going on. It's just kind of scary. Yes.
Scary good.
Scary good, yes. Ooh, be ready for change. City Museum Historic Walking Tour. You can go to the City Museum on Friday afternoon at 5:30. $20 to $25 and actually tour the town. Now, you don't have to be embarrassed that you've never actually seen all the stuff in your own town.
Well, it's funny because, you know, we see the stuff, but we might not have any history about it.
You might not know why it's there. So this is a really nice opportunity to get... in on that, and a nice little walk. 6 p.m. on Friday, Rock the Runway Fashion Show and Sale Fundraiser. This is at the Jack, and it's $5 to $10 at the door, which includes some refreshments and a fashion show, I think, starts at 6. We've set the runway up, a mini wearable art runway. It's very cool.
Does it make you go,
Well, it does. It's not quite the same, but, you know, come and check it out. It's also the 5th annual Alaska Authors at Sea Whale Watching Cruise at 6 p.m., leaving from Statter Harbor, I believe. $50 for tickets. They're going to have Anne Boochiever. She just released a book called Bristol Bay Summer. Richard Carstensen, Robert Armstrong, Mary, she always writes in the paper, I know, Wilson, I know, and Ernestine Hayes and several other folks. And I know that there'll be wine on board because my husband will be there pouring the wine. So it's it looks like it's going to be a beautiful evening and a nice opportunity to get to know some of Alaska's authors and get them to sign your books. We've got Dan Hobson with his live guitar at the Gold Room at the Baranoff Hotel Friday night and Saturday night at 7. And let's see, Chrome Forest Live at McGivney's at 10 p.m. on Friday night. Saturday all day, it's the Southeast Alaska Sailing Cup J. Ginter Memorial Day Regatta. So come on out. It should be a beautiful evening or afternoon for sailing around. The Arts for Youth, Taffy, as it's known, is doing Once Upon a Time at 2 and at 6 on Saturday.
What's that? Do you know?
Hmm?
What's that? Once Upon a Time. Is that like is it a dance? Is it a play?
It's a dance showcase.
Cool.
So I'm thinking that they're probably doing little stories,
fairy tales
type things. Yeah. And it's going to be at Thunder Mountain High School. Tickets are $10 to $12, and you can pick them up in the usual places. Again, Perseverance Theater, don't miss out on this. It's a comedy.
Boing,
don't
boing.
Miss it. Boing, boing. And Sunday, congratulations to the class of 2014, Juneau School District Graduation Day. It's going to be it's always a crowd. It's always a great time. 1 p.m. is the Yakus Alternative High School graduation ceremony at Centennial Hall. The Fresh Passion folks are doing their thing at 2 p.m., and that's the Perseverance Theater is doing their thing at 2 p.m. At 3 p.m., the Juneau Wind Ensemble is doing this really interesting concert. I overheard them rehearsing yesterday. There's a recitation. Dennis Egan is doing a recitation. You were just talking to them, so you know more about it than I do.
Sounds pretty awesome. But mm-hmm. I could listen Dennis Egan read a menu, I think. I mean, really, you know what I mean?
He has a nice voice.
It's great.
Yeah, great. So we should ask him to do that. We could have food radio. Just read this recipe.
That's perfect. Hello, we've stumbled upon something.
Yeah, so let's see. The high school, JDHS high school graduation is at 4 p.m. At 6:45 on Sunday, it is Music on the Fly, and it'll be Juliana Bibb, the baggage claim area. If you're coming and going, it's on 67 or 66. Let's see, Sunday Music at Rookery featuring 5+2. That's at 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m. is the Thunder Mountain High School graduation. And then at 10 p.m. is the Safe Graduation Party. Monday's Memorial Day. Tuesday, there's another walking tour, City Museum walking tour. 5:30 and 7:30, but I'm a cheerleader, film screening, and Whoosh Poetry at Gold Town. I don't know what that is.
I thought you were just kind of throwing in, like, inadvertently, I'm a cheerleader. I was like, well, okay, Nancy. I had no idea. Good to know.
Yeah, it didn't work out real well. I run on my toes. 6:30 p.m. is an Aries and Mars presentation at the planetarium.
Cool.
That's free. If you've never been to the planetarium, you should go.
I love the planetarium, and I have a project cooking there.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Cooking? Menus?
Cooking. Dennis?
Dennis?
Where are you?
Yeah. Let's see. On Wednesday at 6:30 p.m., Truth and Reconciliation, a community conversation and a long night's journey into day, film showing at the Northern Light United Church. 7 p.m. is the old-time string band at the Alaskan. All abilities are welcome. And at 7:30 that night, Wednesday, it's karaoke night at the Rendezvous. Thursday, speaking of Dennis Egan, at 5 p.m., it's his campaign kickoff at the IBEW Hall. So, and then, let's see, Thursday, we'll go into that next Thursday. There's movies and things starting. But, yeah, it's a nice, pleasant, celebratory sort of weekend.
It is. It does have that feel of everybody's
transitions
doing,
and
exactly.
Changes and spring and summer, and here we are.
And speaking of spring and summer, and here we are, the Brewfest is happening too in Haines.
That's in Haines, yes. Are you going to that?
I'm actually taking the year off.
Oh, well, okay. I heard they were sold out anyway, so
perfect.
There you are.
Yes.
And you can always drink beer at home, probably.
Exactly.
Right, so, yeah, let's see. But next weekend on June 6th, we'll be starting Food Truck Fridays. Rachel's lining up a whole slew of food trucks and different artists. The Thunder Mountain Big Band will kick it off for us, as they always do every year. I'm really pleased to say Holland America is once again our sponsor for this wonderful community event. They have sponsored the summer concerts for the Arts and Humanities Council for the community for over 25 years. Can't really find the first time they did it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really nice to have. I'm looking at their ship right out here as we're sitting here talking, and I just want to thank them loudly for their support for the community all these years. And if you've not come to one of them, do come down. It's a real sort of living room type
you know. That's very fun.
Backyard party kind of thing. So.
And if people want to get all this information on a calendar and on the internets, where can they find, where can they go?
Go to the jahc.org website, and there's a calendar there. It's in a list form. If you don't like that, you click on the little Google button at the bottom, and it booms into this big calendar. Or you can go to the KTOORG website.
And Nancy, I also have to say that you are close to taking
a little break.
So I just wanted to say that I will miss you here on Thursday afternoons with Arts Up.
I think I'll be here one more time.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
And thank you so much for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, May 22nd, and have a wonderful Memorial weekend.
The president made a bad bet that if he ramped up enforcement to record levels, he would win over skeptical Republicans who might support him on passing immigration reform.
But that has complicated things for Democrats, too.
For Thursday, May 22nd, it's All Things Considered from NPR News.